Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this edition of Mac Bizzo Radio. Today is October the 9th, 2015, and we have our special guest with us today, Mr. Fantasy O-Matic of FantasyOmatic.com, to tell me and you about the best algorithm in the industry, or at least I'm biased toward that. So welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate it and appreciate your ongoing support over the years, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. I would be lost on a desert island if I didn't have FantasyOmatic.com for my football season, for sure. So tell everybody who listens, first of all, where to find you on social media, and just give them, you know, a 60-second rundown of your site, and then we'll talk about, you know, some of that DFS gossip in the industry.
You bet. Well, yeah, absolutely. You can find me pretty much everywhere just at FantasyOmatic. It's FantasyOmatic.com, spelled like it sounds, FantasyOmatic.com. On the site, you'll find weekly misses, but more importantly, our rankings, player comparison tools, things like our proprietary defense ratings, strengths of schedule, you know, and then other kind of fantasy tools like fantasy points for touch and snap and things like that. A bunch of number stuff for your own research. More importantly, the player comparison where you can plug in a player, figure out, compare it to another player and see who you should start or sit for the week. All that stuff is free and that can be found at FantasyOmatic.com. I'm also really proud of our Twitter feed, which is at FantasyOmatic. All it is just straight up news of the day, everything you need to know about fantasy, and no garbage about what I had for dinner or what my kids are doing, you know, for the day. It's just straight up third person fantasy data. And the only other kind of thing you'll get on that feed is NFL specific analytics information too. I'm an analytics junkie, all sports, but I share a lot of that on there, as well as you'll see we have a weekly reader, like all the different articles that I curate throughout the course of the week. We release those on Friday morning. So if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see those announcements as well. Oh, and then, of course, Then there's the Fantasy Number Crunch series on NFL.com/fantasy, which you'll see every Thursday. Last week's just went up yesterday morning. So that's another area you can see some narrative on FantasyOmatic.
Yeah, you did some stuff preseason with them, right? I was so excited when I saw that.
Yeah, I was really busy with them this season. We did did a couple video things over the summer and some write-ups and some preseason stuff. It was a lot of fun. They definitely kept me busy. Unfortunately, at the cost of doing, you know, some of the preseason stuff that I do on FantasyOmatic, but I was really happy with the outcome. So we still got tons of stuff out there for people to consume pre-draft this year.
Oh, yeah, you were – I was too nervous to play Kenny Britt, but your five little things you should know about week, and then bam, you know, he got that exact performance. I was like, oh, that was just so much fun to watch. So
I forgot about that. Five stats. Yeah, every week on Wednesday we release the five stats. It's been a lot of fun. You know, there's just kind of little nuggets. Yeah, that Kenny Britt one was crazy. I invested him in Daily Fantasy that week as well.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Tell us a little bit about the kind of temporary black eye in the DFS industry. Just give us your quick take on that.
Well, I find it to be really fascinating, just sort of in the zeitgeist right now, you know, within our country. It's become a political issue, and I sense that it's probably going to remain a political issue into an election year next year. But I'm a member of the Fantasy Sports Trade Association, which meets a couple times a year. I found it interesting that the last meeting that we had in Vegas back in January was pretty much all about daily fantasy. And they had folks from legal backgrounds who are on boards, the board of directors there, and all sorts of different people talking about daily fantasy. And what it really boils down to is the ruling back in 2006, if I'm not mistaken, either 2006 or 2009, I'll turn that number upside down at the end there. But there was a ruling that actually stated that daily fantasy in particular is not gambling. And it boiled down to the concept other gambling is, well, there's two types of of wagering. Skill wagering and luck wagering, like roulette, for example. You just put your money down on a color or a number, and you spin the ball around the roulette wheel. That is nothing but luck, right? Bingo, you think would be luck as well. But any of that kind of stuff for money is frowned upon and illegal. Of course, it's a state mandated law, so state by state these things can change. But they determined that fantasy sports back then, daily fantasy wasn't even in the conversation, but they determined that fantasy sports were a game of skill. And we'll take that as a compliment for guys like you and I that actually do a lot of research. They're saying that you can affect the outcome of your wager based on how much, you know, effort or skill or experience you have. It's a lot of gray area, but that's how they determine the difference. And then, of course, recently, we're all sick and tired of seeing, you know, DraftKings and FanDuel ads. Like, if I ever see another one of those ads again in my life, it'll be great. And of course, ESPN, we won't see those ads anymore on ESPN, which I'm very much looking forward to. And the reason for that is because there's a scandal. One of the pieces of information that we don't get that would be incredibly valuable when we're betting on daily fantasy on either site is who all the other people are investing in. You get a little bit of that on the Thursday report. I've seen you mention that on Twitter, where you can see what percent owned a guy might be for the week. But by the time the weekend rolls around, that information is essentially not, you can't calculate off of it. So what happened in short was a bunch of FanDuel guys were not, you know, you're not allowed to, there was a rule that didn't allow FanDuel guys to bet on FanDuel and DraftKings guys to bet on DraftKings. But long story short, a bunch of the FanDuel guys got the percent owned data versa, and then they bet on each other's websites, and it ended up that like 0.03% of all the winnings on, I believe it was DraftKings, were from FanDuel employees or something crazy like that. And one of the guys won $350,000 like a couple weeks ago or something. Long story short, people are freaked out. And now Congress is all over it, and it's just going to be, because of its extreme exposure, it's going to become like a political issue, and it's in election year next year, so that thing's probably going to, I mean, there's a very strong chance of daily fantasy, that ruling could get overturned because of this scandal, and it just being a reason for people to talk about it.
Right. My whole passion with the industry, so when I came in, I found your algorithm the first year that I even played, when I didn't know who players were, you know, because I'm not one of those old school sports junkie guys. But I came into it from a game design and an entrepreneurial standpoint. And, you know, back before Draft Street launched, I was like, oh, my God, I want to own a site that does this. I want to present a certain type of game. You know, it's not necessarily a format that's on DraftKings or FanDuel, but I've ran it in my own season-long leagues for the last 4 or 5 years, and they're 20-team leagues, and they fill up every year, and it's super fun. More of a flex-based thing, you know. So, you know, some slight little game design changes might have to happen to push it more towards skill. The thing I saw this year that pushed it more toward chance, and then we'll flash back and talk about your project in the beginning back in 2007. But the thing that I thought pushed it more toward chance was a larger number of entrants allowed in, like, the Millionaire Maker. Last year it was about 90,000. This year it was like 500,000.
Yeah, I think just numbers-wise, that turns more into a lottery. I mean, they call them tickets even. That's probably unwise for them. Just buy a ticket and you're in on the lottery. I mean, I don't know how that's, you know, not just chance, but yeah, it's not helping. I'm worried about it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I've spent a lot of time engineering the algorithm towards, you know, helping hedge those wagers on daily fantasy in particular. But, you know, I hope it doesn't go anywhere. But I feel for the first time ever that there's a very real chance that there could be some, and it would be state by state. Obviously, there's a handful of states where it's illegal as it is. Washington, for example, fantasy football is illegal there. You can do whatever you want for no money, but that's not what DraftKings is based off of, for example. So
flashback to the beginning, when you first made the algorithm, what brought you in, what passion and desire brought you to create your project?
Well, I think, you know, it's fantasy football has always fit my personality. I come from a 20 years of software engineering background, and I've always been a sports analytics junkie, even as a kid. I mean, you know, my little brother and I used to play Nerf basketball on the house, and we would record all of our shot attempts and where we made them on the court, and we would create, like, analytics based on them when we were, like, 10 and stuff like that. And it's always been something that, you know, my brain's just wired that way, I guess. So, you know, fantasy football is the perfect merge of sports data and, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that software, that engineering thinking. And as a player for many years prior to 2007, I noticed that the way to create an advantage rather than just guessing is to play the matchups. So I'm really, the whole algorithm and my whole Fantasy-O-Matic initiative is really about identifying matchups and who can take advantage of them. So if you recall, back, you know, toward around that time period, the concept of fantasy points against was new. You probably know, I mean, you can go to any site in the world now and they'll give you fantasy points against, right? Which, you know, right. I'm sure everybody knows, but, you know, really what it is how many points have running backs scored against this defense and, or, you know, quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends. And then they just rank them in that order. And that was like the, and still is, frankly, the pervasive unit of measure when quantifying how easy or tough a matchup is. So right. I was consumed with that back in, you know, like 2005, 2006. One website had them. I don't even remember who they are anymore. But it was like I had to go find this website and drill into the page where they actually listed them. And then they didn't have a download or anything. So I would copy it and then I would paste it into Excel and I would spend like, you know, 2 hours cleaning it up every week. And then a couple other of them had them and I was just sort of tracking them and putting them into a proprietary software system that I simply was building for myself just so I could play fantasy football with my friends and stuff like that. And ultimately, you know, I became consumed with it. Even when I first started Fantasy-O-Matic, I was really providing content about, hey, here's what the good matchups are, right? But about 2007 is where this is really what the realization was, and it was that fantasy points against are broken.
Yes,
and
they
what
are.
I mean by that, I mean, they are. They're critically broken. From a mathematical standpoint, if you even spend 5 minutes thinking about it, you'll see that they're broken. I'll get into that in a second. But the other thing that happened is, you know, most fantasy pundits, and you know, I with great honor, and, you know, have a bunch of guys over at NFL.com that, I share space with on the website, and these are guys that I admire. Those guys are like heroes to me. But I mean, if you go across the industry and you just look at pundits, most of what people are saying is it's a lot of like you listen to the radio, you know, I used to have a radio show on Sirius Fantasy Sports, for a couple seasons there. And the difference in what I was trying to offer was people would say like, this guy's going to blow up or, you know, he's on a roll and all these things that just didn't make any sense to me. There's like, no way to quantify what that means. So what I would actually see happening is guys would say, oh, I love this guy this week because he's got a good matchup. So all we're saying in that case is here's a guy that either does well or doesn't do well, but this week he has either more resistance towards creating points for fantasy or less resistance. That's all it boils down to.
Right.
And that's what a matchup is. And we all talk about that. And then then came what's broken about fantasy points against. And by the way, it's not just what's broken about fantasy points against, but it's also what's broken about measuring how good a player is based on what his average fantasy points per game might be. So let's talk about that. So let's say, for example, I tell you that there's two defenses, okay, that both allow 15 fantasy points a game to quarterbacks. All right, let's say it's week 10 or something like that, all right? And so right out of the gate, if you're using fantasy points against as a metric, for making decisions, you're going to say, oh, this one's an even up. This is a toss-up. These guys are the exact same. You know, they'd be ranked like, you know, 9 and 10, you know, just because
right.
they're tied, whatever the secondary sort order would be. So you would think, okay, they're the same guy, right? Well, what if I then told you that one of those defenses has faced, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you know, all the guys of the season, Carson Palmer. Let's say that's all they've faced so far this season. And then on the flip side, the other guys have faced all the backups and, you know, all the worst quarterbacks in the league. Now, all of a sudden, you can kind of see how the math rises to the surface. The defense that has faced all the Rodgers and Bradys of the world and held them to only 15 fantasy points a game is a much tougher matchup for quarterbacks than the defense that played a bunch of patsies and still allowed them to score 15 fantasy points a game, right?
Absolutely.
15's of an average, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. But so you can't make decisions by saying, I mean, then broaden that out when they're not even. What about if I say, hey, this defense gives up 20 fantasy points a game and this other defense gives up 13 fantasy points a game? People, you know, all over the internet, you can find hundreds of thousands of articles written just this week that say this guy has a good matchup because the team he's playing, you know, whatever, home or away, who cares? They
right.
give up 20 fantasy points a game. Yeah, but they face Rodgers and I mean, like the Rams. The Rams have faced, for example, you know, so far this year, they're about to face Aaron Rodgers. They played Ben Roethlisberger. And they played Carson Palmer. So whatever their fantasy points a game are, you have to have a way to weight that and say, hey, this is still a formidable opponent, potentially a bad defense for a lesser quarterback than those other guys would be, right? So,
yeah, so how does that tie into your newest update that you've done to the algorithm this year?
That's a great question. So ultimately what I did to solve all that is come up with a very sophisticated algorithm that now there's, you know, a couple of us that work on this full time. And the original algorithm just basically said, hey, look, I don't care about ranking the defenses. I want to create a rating. And what the rating does is it puts everybody in an order that truly identifies who's a tough matchup. So it takes all that bias that I just mentioned, and it completely removes it. And at the time, it was the first of its kind. There are some also-rans out there now that do, you know, similar type approaches, but I still contend our, you know, the Fantasy-O-Matic one is by far the best. And I know this because I test it against other algorithms, and it always comes out to be with a higher reduction of prediction error, which is how you measure these things. So what I have is a rating for each defense. And it takes who they've faced so far that season and weighs that against the strength of their opponent and then says, all right, based on other opponents with various strengths moving forward, you know, how are they going to fare? So the big difference in the offseason, and by the way, that was, we know that the cool thing about math, and you know this, is you don't just speculate and come up with theories. I mean, math and science are absolutes. So when I come up with a concept and create an algorithm, I just take 15 seasons of NFL data and I pretend I came up with this algorithm 15 years ago, and I can determine how it would have fared as far as prediction is concerned. And every offseason, I do, you know, I come up with, you know, 10, 20 ideas that I think might affect the accuracy of the algorithm, and we go into the lab and see if they work. 90% of the time...
Cool.
It's cool. It's fun. That's what I do all off season. And the biggest
yeah.
work on the algorithm came during the lockout when I had a lot of non-football time to work on it. But what's fun about it is you can go, hey, does a home and away factor into this, or does field conditions factor into this, or, you know, what are the different things that might factor in? And so I change the algorithm and then go work on it, comparing it against other people's algorithms and predictions, or the baseline of fantasy points against and average fantasy points per game for players, and see whether ours, first of all, compared to the existing algorithm like V1, is it better or worse? Most of the time, you know, to be totally candid, when I come up with ideas, I run them against old seasons. It takes days to do that, but you know, the lab results essentially say, no, this made it makes it worse. That theory doesn't make sense, right? So after several seasons of doing this, essentially what I've come up with, I finally had a huge breakthrough this year, and without giving away, you know, all the nuts and bolts of it, what it boils down to is all previous seasons I've always ever been looking at the certain games, how many games have been played so far in the season, right? And later in the year, I noticed that there's a certain number of games that there's a recency bias, basically, is what it's called.
Right.
So when you get down to week 10, X number of games from 10 back, you know, 3 or 5 or 7, however many it is, are more accurate as a predictor than all 10 games that a defensive has played or even a player has played, right?
Okay.
So I started playing with that within the season, and we did a little bit of that last year. And in this off season, what we discovered, and it was huge, was we could go back into previous seasons from a player standpoint, that is. And certain, and then we found out that certain, like, quarterbacks, you can go back X number of weeks. Running backs, you can go Y number of weeks, and so on and so on and so on. Now, obviously, rookies, they don't have the benefit of that many weeks, but the guys that we do
right.
the data on, we can actually become more and more accurate. So spent all summer doing that, figuring out what the recency weeks were for all the different positions on the player side, and then ran these through, and it ended up, you know, we had a 37% reduction in prediction error with the algorithm. That just means we're 37% more accurate than using fantasy points against and fantasy points per game, which everyone in the world uses, right?
Oh,
so
and
that's
it's
great.
So exciting too that. So if when someone comes to fantasyomatic.com to check out your data, if they're a new player or an advanced player, you know, how should a new player look at your data? And then somebody that's been playing for a while, you know, what are some nuances they can see that a new player might not?
I think that new players, it's funny, working with the guys over at NFL, it's been really interesting to see how they classify who the different, you know, tiers of players are, fantasy players, that is, people who play fantasy. And there are people who are like, just tell me what to do, you know, I just tell me who I'm supposed to start, right? And so if we have a classification of that type of player, that's where our player comparison tool comes in, and that, of course, we just introduced towards the end of last season. So if you go to Fantasy-O-Matic and you go under the, you know, we've got a drop-down on the site that tells you, you know, that you can see the different rankings for the week, but the very first one that's available in the upper left-hand corner is the search for player. I tweet this out all the time, so if you follow me, I can remind people where it is. But under weekly rankings, you just got to compare players. And then you just plug in any number of different players that you want to compare against. If you're just trying to figure out, you know, between two quarterbacks who you want to start, just put the first quarterback in, say add player, put the second quarterback in, and then compare the two of them. And there's information on the site about that, but really, if you're trying to compare them for the purposes of starting or sitting for that week, you just pick whichever player has the highest matchup rating. And if you want to figure out if you should trade for a guy, then sort them by trade value. These are all columns that are on the site. And if you just want to see who's the better player, you can sort it by player rating. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, people want to know who to start and sit. And the cool thing about the algorithm and the ratings is that the ratings are consistent. The value structure is consistent against all position categories. So if you're looking for a flex, and you can put a tight end in there, two running backs, a wide receiver, whatever, and you can still sort them by matchup rating, and they're all equal. They're all, you know, flattened out so that you can actually make comparisons across it to see who would be more productive. So for beginners,
okay,
you can use that.
All right. Now, if I'm a more advanced player, what's something that I can come in and see just by I noticed, too, it used to be 3, and now we've got it into 4 categories. So it used to be like a pure stoplight, but now we've got 4, which is even better, you know. So, yeah, for the advanced player.
Yeah, you're talking about the color codes. So we've got really, four tiers. You're absolutely right. I appreciate you following it for so long, but it used to just be red and green. You know, people generally don't like numbers. You can pretty safely say if any of our ratings on Fantasy-O-Matic are a positive number, that's good. If they're a negative number, that's bad. And that means if a player has a positive number, they're a good player. If a player has a negative one, they're bad. But mainly when you're evaluating defenses, and this is where I think more advanced players can find our tools helpful, you really want to learn about the matchups. Forget fantasy points against. Let all the other suckers in your league go look at that and think they have a good matchup and maybe make starting decisions based on that. If you want to find out what the matchups really are, go to Fantasy-O-Matic, go under Fantasy Tools, and you can go to Defense Ratings. And the Defense Ratings will say for every defense, basically I can rank them or sort them based on how good they are or, you know, how tough they are, easy they are against different positions. So you can go on there and say, all right, well, you know, who's the easiest matchup against quarterbacks, for example, and this, of course, you know, is based on how players performed against them, but it's weighted in a sophisticated fashion based on the quality of the players that faced them. So you go in there and you see that, oh, like New Orleans has a rating of 3.98. That's a positive rating. So they're an easier matchup, for example, than Jacksonville would be, who has a rating of just 0.92. So you don't have to really care about the numbers. Just take the higher numbers as easy. Whatever defense has the highest number is the better matchup. Whatever player has the higher number, they're a better player. Whatever matchup, which is the two of those things combined with some other variables, is the better matchup. It's just like comparing, you know, prices of food at the store. Like, if you can do that math, you can figure this out. So I think advanced people who just want to do research will really find that the defense ratings will really help them get a leg up on truly what are the best matchups. And I also think that the fantasy points attempt, per snap, per throw, and all that kind of stuff, metrics that we have on the site, which are not unique to Fantasy-O-Matic, but they're free here. I think those are interesting ways that you can see, you know, like if there's a backup guy who's taking over, like what kind of production has he had before he got the backup role? You can kind of see this. Our algorithm does focus a lot on what players do with each individual opportunity as opposed to what they do per game. So those are metrics that are sort of residue from a lot of the calculations that we're doing. And all that stuff is on there. And I think advanced players will really find that stuff to be useful.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do that I've consistently done, what I did last year for DFS was a little bit different. I took the dollar per point average and then I correlated it, you know, color coding it to your data. And for the cash games, that worked great. I think the first 3 weeks I actually got serious about daily fantasy last year, I turned my 20 into 203, and I was pretty excited about it. You know, one of
Sweet.
My favorite things, though, is take your pure green light matchups. You know, when you've got both, you know, for example, this season, I think it was last week, Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb, both, you know, that algorithm said, hey, these guys are great. And, you know, so I like to find stacks, you know, that way. And it's always been good, even for preseason stuff. I got about 9 seconds here left in the live portion of the show, but we got about 15 minutes that'll be available in the archive. So what I want to do talk about, are there any position players right now who are hot that for daily or season long managers should be grabbing? And then what are some guys in the playoffs maybe that they should think about trying to get on their roster? So who does the algorithm like for that?
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, one thing that I like to look at when we're at sort of the quarter pole of the season is look at guys who've faced really bad matchups so far and who then have really good matchups to finish the season. These are guys that we would consider guys we want to acquire or, you know, for season long purposes. A lot of this evaluation helps, you know, more so in season long. So I would call these guys players on the rise. And I'm going to do an article on fantasyomatic.com, potentially over the weekend, that profiles some of these guys. But to share with them with you here first, you know, and I'm going to give, I'll show you the color coding like you're talking about so people can really see the stuff and do the evaluation. But like, for example, Philip Rivers, who's, you know, kind of a low-end QB1, he's faced nothing but bad or worst rated matchups, you know, all these negative matchups so far this year. He's done pretty good, actually. He faced Cleveland, who's a bad rated matchup, but he did pretty well against him last week. But he's had four negative matchups, and he's only got three negative matchups to finish the season. So the rest of his season is just peppered with nothing but positive matchups, including games against teams like Chicago and Kansas City and the Jacksonville's. He's got two against Kansas City, actually. One of those is in the playoffs, and another one against Oakland there. So he's a guy that if you have him, hold him. If you don't, and you want to try to, you know, scoop him off of somebody's bench as their backup, pick him up, and you can really ride him as a QB1 moving forward. Probably the guy that I like the most as far as that's concerned, who's definitely my number one trade target for people, is Mike Evans. I mean, there's other factors regarding Mike Evans that made him a, you know, he's gotten off to a slow start, obviously, with injuries, and, you know, he, you know, went up with the Josh Norman Island last week. His value is going to be as low as it's ever going to be. People need to acquire Mike Evans, and the reason for that is because I did a video on NFL.com over the summer about his schedule, but he's got, he does really, really well. Going back to last year, he's got a really good player rating because he does really, really well against any level of competition. But what's interesting is he hasn't faced a good matchup yet this season. But he has, in his remaining games, he's got a bye in week six, but in his remaining games, not this week, Jacksonville is actually not the patsy matchup for receivers that we've gotten used to over the years, but they're not terrible either. He has nothing but top matchups: Washington, Atlanta, Philadelphia, the Colts, Atlanta again, New Orleans, St. Louis, and Chicago in the championship week.
Nice.
He's got nothing but green grass ahead of him. Green ratings, you know, top-notch stuff. His player rating is still positive. I say acquire Mike Evans for any team that you can. If you have a team that has Mike Evans as your wide receiver two and Odell Beckham as your wide receiver one, good luck trying to acquire him. But if you have him already, get really excited because not only is he a split, he's got one of the best matchups to finish the season, you know, except for a date with Josh Norman in week 15 of the playoffs. So apologies there. But if anybody can, you know, get to Josh Norman, it's going to be Beckham. But he's got some dark green matchups peppered in with some light green ones. He only has two bad matchups, one against Revis and one against Josh Norman. Obviously, those suck, but the rest of them are green grass. So if you got Odell Beckham and then Mike Evans, every time you go to look at the start-sit columns at your favorite, you know, generic fantasy football website, they're going to be like, oh, Odell Beckham has a great matchup, and Mike Evans has a great matchup. Well, guess what? We know that information already. We don't have to wait till that week to figure that out. So those are two guys. Phillip Rivers is a nice buy low. Guys who are going to bounce back, or Calvin Johnson will bounce back once Lynch gets back on the field. He's got a much better schedule. I love Todd Gurley. He's got excellent matchups starting in week seven after their bye. Acquire Todd Gurley if you can. And then some of the studs, like Jeremy Hill should recover. He's had, you know, the worst kind of matchup you can have is a worst rated matchup. And out of the four games so far, three of those have been worst rated matchups. I like him to recover. And then on the flip side, frankly, I think the Carson Palmer train is going to cool off quite a bit, actually. He has had deluxe matchups to start the season. I mean, New Orleans, Chicago, San Francisco, and then he finally faces a tough defense in St. Louis, and he flounders a little bit. Well, don't trade away any other quarterbacks you might have drafted, folks, because Carson Palmer, or maybe he's a guy you dump to go pick up your Mike Evans, Phillip Rivers combo. Carson Palmer's going to cool off. Andy Dalton's also going to cool off. He's still yet to face Seattle, Buffalo, Cleveland, St. Louis, Cleveland twice, and even Denver in the championship game. You don't want to have him going into that. So, you know, those are a couple of guys to maybe shy away from in those cases as well.
Oh, totally, totally fun stuff. Well, I suppose that can go ahead and wrap everything else, up for us. Is there anything else you want to cover? What about your timeline for getting the data out for drafting for next season? When does that come out on your site?
Yeah, we'll have that information out at the end of July is basically when we tighten all that stuff up. We were a little late this year because of the big algorithm updates, but I don't anticipate that for next season. So you'll have all the numbers to crunch on that. Our draft board is based on, you know, estimated rest of season stuff. During the season, we have all the tools that we described up on Tuesdays. You can go to our site on Tuesdays. You can see all the different position rankings, do the player comparison, and all the fantasy tools. And then my article on NFL.com, Fantasy Number Crunch, comes up every Thursday. And then we send out our daily fantasy prime picks to anybody that donates off the site, you know, whether it's a dollar or what. Like, we send those out on Saturdays. So that's kind of our schedule both through the week and through the season. We'll have more misses about playoff stuff coming after we get around the halfway point of the season, so we can start getting some real acute data for playoff analysis at that point.
Okay, well, awesome. As always, it's one of the number one things that powers my podcast. So thank you so much for the data. And, yeah, I'll be sure to visit that PayPal link on your site for you as well. I know I mention it on the show every once in a while as well, too.
I appreciate that very much, and your ongoing support means a lot, man. Keep it up, and I look forward to chatting with you again about this stuff. Definitely won't be a stranger to the podcast.
Fantastic. All right. Well, hey, man, have a great day, and good luck here in week 5.
Good luck to you, too, and we'll talk soon. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.